Okay, you need to deal with figure this bullshit out.
What bullshit?
The mic, it's like being all waggy.
How? I'm gonna figure this out.
There we go. We need to get that little... I like how you need to have it directly in your face. Like, this microphone needs to be fucking...
Aren't you doing the same shit?
Beefling you in the fucking mouth.
Gosh.
don't give me
it's
this.
It's the last week of October.
It is. And there's only a couple of days left. So we here at the Fauzi Cave, we were going nuts. And what we're doing is we're giving y'all one episode every single day.
That's right.
Here we go again. Hit that music, baby. Welcome, guys. Here we are. Fauzi Cave of Horrors. We are your hosts. I am John.
And I'm Fauzi.
And today, Fauzi,
today we're going to Japan. Actually, not exactly. It's a deserted place in Japan.
That's right. I know this is a famous place for sure. A place made famous by lots of people. And for horror enthusiasts, I'm sure you've all heard of this place in the past before. The place has been made famous, unfortunately, because of a certain YouTuber out there who did something stupid a couple years ago, but...
That's not what it's been famous for.
Really?
He just spread it more.
He spread it, but to people who didn't know, I should say. But I know that behind this haunted, hallowed place are stories aplenty of horror. And luckily for all of you and for me, you're here to tell us that story, eh, Fauzi?
That's right. We're talking about Okigahara, also known as Jukai, the Sea of Trees, the Suicide Forest itself.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Right.
The one and only.
The one and only. So this place is a really dense forest in an area less than 100 miles from Tokyo, actually. Yeah, on the northwestern flank of Japan's mountain Fuji.
Fuji's like that big one that shows up in all the pictures and stuff,
right.
And like it's like in all their calendars. It's like a big deal. It's like
their main thing. It's a 30 square kilometers, 12 square miles for all you Americans. You hate kilometers.
Indeed, we do.
30 square kilometers of 100 lava. Volcanic rocks. It's very, very rocky. That's been all these volcanic magmatic rocks been laid down by the last major eruption of Mount Fuji, which actually absorbs the sound alongside all these trees that are too tightly packed. Not even the wind can go through. That's why it provides to visitors the sense of solitude and isolation.
Wait, so like the trees are so dense and close together, like it just feel like you can't hear anything? Like,
yeah,
is it like
exactly.
It deprives you of sounds and things? Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what they say. We've never been there. We have a friend that's actually been there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so obviously this place sounds magical, and I would say it's very beautiful. We don't know yet what happened there. We don't know what happened there so far.
Well,
actually, one visitor described the silence as chasms of emptiness. She added, "I cannot emphasize enough the absence of sound, that my breath sounded like a roar."
Whoa.
Right.
You know, it's kind of just hearing the description of the forest itself sounds so gnarly, man. I mean...
That's what I thought.
It's like you're in a vacuum, almost. Like you're in a cave. Like it's a cave, get it? But honestly, it seems like you're just trapped in a void, almost.
Yeah, that's freaky,
man. Holy shit. Okay.
So the forest has three famous lava caves. There's two of them in particular that have drawn mostly lovers and explorers from all over the world for so many years. Even local tourists and school trips. These caves actually get filled with snow and ice in winter, that you can't really do anything about it. The forest is very dense and huge. It's like so big that it'll mess with your head if you're in there without a map or anything. It'll do some Blair Witch style effects on you that you'll lose your mind and get lost easily. So visitors most of the time and explorers began to use plastic tapes and marks to mark their paths of and avoid getting lost. Now the other name for Okigahara is the Suicide Forest, the sweet home of the Yurei. The Yurei is the Japanese word for ghosts or spirits. Yeah.
So the house of ghosts.
A very angry ghost that leads you to do some terrible acts.
But the question then becomes, okay, so but how did this all even begin?
Right. So one of the first things you would notice when you visit this gloomy place is the absolute pure silence. And it's very scary to a point where, you know, it's not that you can hear silence, it's that you will literally feel what's it like to actually hear nothing or be able to not hear anything. That's what it feels like. And despite the richness of the woods, it is insanely quiet. You know, almost very little to no wildlife is ever seen or heard here, because this forest, as they say, belongs to the dead. Right. There is animals. There is some animals, birds, insects, but you would rarely
deer or like some big thing
or like a boar or a fucking mink. I don't know, some.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of birds here and there. That's it. Rest is dead.
All right.
It's also very rich with magnetic iron. The soil of the Suicide Forest plays a havoc on cell phone service and GPS systems and even compasses. So that's why when you're inside the forest, you're most likely, your navigational compass will go crazy and stop working at some point.
I see.
But don't freak out, because that's mainly because, you know, your compass is being close to the floor of the lava rocks, or normally, you know, just being close to the ground in general, because the ground is very solid, because it's, you know, been made from the volcanic rocks, and not even axes or spikes for hikers, you know, would work in this ground.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's very hard, you know, but in general, like any normal good compass will just behaves as expected when held at a normal height.
Okay.
Right. So now, believe it or not, this goes back to the late 19th century. People of Japan practiced something that was rumored to be called ubaste or ubasutu. I don't know actually what it's like, or oyasutu. It was an ancient tradition in which the old and sick of your close ones or your parents were brought into that forest or even other places in Japan, such as high mountains, to be abandoned there, to die of exposure and starvation.
Why?
Well, that's how the folklore story goes, like.
Okay,
but anyway,
okay.
They say that that happened. Some say that didn't really happen. That, you know, if you were to take your mom and you can't take care of her anymore and you just abandon her in the mountain. It became a thing.
Jeez.
Right.
There seems to be a lot of things going on with this forest that all coincide here. The folklore, the iron deposits where you can't get signal. It seems like all the elements come together to make this place just really fucking weird. And
right? That's what I thought.
It's almost like the perfect concoction for what's about to happen, I guess, right?
Yeah. So anyway, the isolation of this forest had made it very common for people to go there and end their own lives. And that's mainly the theme of this place.
Right.
Although it seems that it didn't become as popular until a book called Kuri Jukai as the Black Sea of Trees. That guy talks about a lover that, you know, retreats to the forest after a heartbreak, and she just ends her life there. She commits suicide.
The girl commits suicide.
In the forest, yeah, after being heartbroken. I don't know exactly the story,
Jesus.
But that's how it goes.
Right. But there were more, there had been suicides a little bit before. But the book
nobody
was the
knew
big.
About that. Yeah, like it wasn't a big deal. Not even no one bothered, I think, going to the forest unless it was in search or anything like that. Yeah. But that book even encouraged the idea even more, and that's when people start like doing these like search parties, you know.
Right,
to make sure
the book was the big one.
Right. And you know, how popular this doomed site had became. Well, let's just say that many bodies go undiscovered even for years, or might be forever lost. But when they started calculating, in 2002, 78 killed themselves.
What?
Right.
In the world?
That's
oh
when it
God.
All like started calculating, you know.
2002, in 1 year, 78 people killed themselves?
Oh, that was nothing.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine? In 2003, 105 bodies were removed from the forest.
What in the world?
It's crazy just to think about the amount of people that were just not giving a shit. And you will see later what... There's another book that encouraged even more this action.
Oh, there's more than one book.
Right. That was just... That first book was just a little novel that barely mentions the forest, you know, in the end.
The first one.
Yeah. In 2004, 108 people were found in the forest.
Oh my God.
Hanged, drugged, poisoned. So many, they were like, they saw people hanging each other in trees, and they called it like something as a work of art. Because it was just insane. You know, it started going viral even more.
I see.
And, you know, there's so many, and it goes until 2010 when things start being reduced. 2010, they said that they were able to stop over 100 attempted suicide at the forest. And they failed afterwards because they found... Of course, they didn't save everybody because they were able to find 54 bodies that were already dead in 2010. And before that, during all these years from 2002 and even before, from the 70s actually, there were like a lot of people dying. And some people like weren't even recovered.
That is insane. That's a
yeah,
lot of people.
Yeah, of course, Japanese authorities, like at that time, they hated to release the official yearly number of bodies out of fear and out of creating some kind of suicide competition. Because, you know, that seemed to be the thing at some point.
Yeah, there seems to be an insane... I mean, I've heard before that Japan has a suicide issue in general, but I mean, these numbers are nuts, man.
Right.
These are some freakishly high numbers.
Sadly, suicide are set to increase during the month of March in Japan, because it's the end of the fiscal year.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like, yeah, it's like there's like a thing where their year ends in March.
What is that, like their January?
I guess so.
Like December or something? Like that the end of the year is March.
I really don't know. Like, if you guys know, let me know, because I'm pretty... I'm not educated on this thing.
I see. Wait, so... But... Hold, so if... Okay, well, if the fiscal year ends in March...
Yeah.
I guess... But now, here's the thing. So, for... I mean, you're probably going to go into this a little bit more, but most of the suicides that we see here, this is inspired by, like... love and heartbreak, is
not
that
really
it,
not
no?
Re- not
no.
even
okay.
Not even like I'm gonna tell you what led to most of these people just offing themselves in that forest.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, you know, is that it can't just be a novel of romance pushing the idea of suicide like Romeo and Juliet, which happened, but to that point where hundreds of bodies are being recovered every year outside of that forest. That's just not right, you know? Nobody knows yet just what it is that draws so many people to the sea of trees to kill themselves. Some have speculated that it is a magnetic portal sealed with magic of some kind that mess with your head and calls the weak and the lonely ones to it, just like a loving mother calls her child.
Whoa.
Right.
That's
so,
very beautiful. In a very sad, creepy
thanks,
way.
Thanks, man. I actually wrote that. I wrote that. I felt like...
Did you? Were you the one that wrote...
Yeah,
oh,
I
actually... Oh, fuck. It sounds like shit. Fuck you.
Actually
the melancholic,
wrote,
that little... The
I
mother
thought,
calls the kids.
I thought... that's what the feeling I got from it, you know?
Oh, my God. Now I feel like a dork. And I shouldn't have
said... Why, you think I'm just fucking reading
so
an article?
So fucking lame. Oh, yeah, I thought you read some fucking gorgeous poetry from Japan.
Not really.
Oh, now I feel like, whatever.
Shut up, you liked it. Here comes my favorite part, though. Here comes the beefy shit. The ones that you all love. So in 1993, that was when you were born, no?
What year?
1993.
Fuck you. 1989. I'm an 80s baby. Don't right. insult me that way.
All right. Never mind. In that year, a bestseller 198-page book titled The Complete Suicide Manual by an author called Wataru Tsurumi, who goes on to rate and provide explicit descriptions and analyzes on various methods of killing yourself according to the amount of pain, such as overdoses, hanging, jumping, and carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh.
And the effort involved, and also the disfiguration of the corpse right after, he actually recommends Okigahara Forest as the ideal location to die.
How would he know? Although, let's think about that.
Oh,
you can
knows.
Only kill yourself once and you can't come back to tell the story. How would he know what the...
Oh,
how
you
do
mean,
you rate the level of pain? You've never died.
He's probably a doctor. I don't know. This guy is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I know. This guy probably...
Right.
What kind of sick...
I'm going to go back to the book later, maybe in the end, because I stumbled upon a Japanese copy and also a little bit preface translation in English. So we'll see if we talk about this later. It's pretty fucked up.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so that book actually has been found among the abandoned positions of various suicide forest visitors. So sad and creepy at the same time.
That's weird.
Believe it or not, this book has been in the top 10 on the Japanese Amazon store for years.
What?
Right, it actually sold more than 1 million copies.
The Suicide Manual is one of the best-selling books in Japan to this day.
Right, see, fucking freaky.
Dude.
And since the book's publication, there has been a big increase in the number of people killing themselves in the dark, dense piece of woodland.
Right, so deep in the woods, people are just...
With that little Bible in their hands, the real Bible, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, hell. It's driving people to take their lives. That's insanity, man. I would understand people buying the book a lot because, I think about it. I mean, people wouldn't buy it necessarily. People would be interested maybe by the morbidity of it all, but the fact that people are actually doing it, people are taking their lives in droves.
Yeah.
All right, go on.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that people will go even out and buy old brand new hiking clothes and boots, camping gear, and head out to the forest, go camping in the darkness, in the gloomy place, and prepare themselves to go on through with a forbidden deed and join the dead.
Hey man, that's dedication. Full North Face.
Sometimes.
Full North Face jacket all the way to heaven.
It is.
It's free.
It's very courageous, I would say, but it's fucked up at the same time. It is, really. Sometimes you'd even see cars that have been parked at the entrance for days, that it become covered in leaves, and that's when you know.
I've seen that before. Like, people report that like the car is still in the parking lot and it's been there for weeks and stuff.
Oh yeah,
I just remember this.
They're never coming back.
Oh, that is gnarly. That's really freaky.
There have been so many volunteers, explorers, and police regularly searching the forest, looking for bodies. Lots of signs have been placed, actually, around the entrance of the forest, telling people that reconsider their suicide attempts and seek help. Police actually have posted signs on various paths throughout the forest that offers messages like, think carefully about your children, your family, or your life is precious gift from your parents. A little cheesy, but you know,
that's terrifying, man.
Of course, people who are in that mindset and determined that much, you know, this science will never be able to sway him away.
No.
From their cause, you know?
Oh, man. That, you know, it has to be so... I mean, when you... But think about how creepy that is. That you're in this forest, and there's these signs just... They're meant for somebody out there that says, think about your life, think about your family, don't do what you're about to do. Because the level of deaths is so high that imagine you're a family. Like, think about this. Imagine you're a family, and you just want to go hiking for the weekend. And you have to, your kids are like, Mom, why is that sign there? And you have to explain to them, well, you know, like people come here. But you have to tell them the story.
I think those, you would be able to see those signs on the entrance, but... They say there's like a little, like, you know, just like the catacombs in Paris that we talked about before. There's a little like tourist space for tourists, but you can wander around on your own. But, you know,
right.
They say, you know, you might fucking fall on a, see a body or shit like that. Like the guy from YouTube, you know, whatever.
Right. I mean, it's crazy. I remember I've seen images of it, I believe. And what it is like you follow a road and there's string.
Oh, yeah.
You could just hop over the string and just go the other way. Yeah. And like deep in, then you go deep inside.
Yeah. They do advise you to take with you like tape or like stuff, stones. It's just to mark your way to come back in case you wanted to wander on your own. Because believe it or not, it's really freaky to the point that it is just like the Blair Witch where you just things will start loop around you and you feel like you just been here and you're not really. You just...
Like a labyrinth.
Yeah, but you get, you know, it's a maze.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that is... It, you know what's so freaky about that? When you consider just, like, this endless forest, I mean, there's a couple movies that have that, like horror movies that do that, but the whole idea of...
Yeah, yeah.
You think you're out, and then you're not, and then you next thing you know, you're so deep inside, you can't even get out anymore.
Yeah, that's what... by the way, like, we talked about this before... When we go to Japan, and we will, we want to go there at some point.
That would be pretty cool.
Do a little bit of an exploration of ourselves.
That would be...
The Bowser Cave.
That would be something definitely to do. I mean, we always kind of go to all these different places that we want to do that.
It is. And this, I feel like this place is a special one because it's full of hundreds of caves to explore. And we got it. We owe it to the gods.
I'm not going to lie to you, though. I will say this. That kind of...
Freaks you out?
Oh yeah, man. That's a lot of dead people, man.
I get it.
I mean, and when you say, for example, that the sound gets compressed, the signal goes off on your cell phone.
So it's a death trip.
It's a death trip.
I mean, mind you, I've done that before, so let's do that.
Well, if you want to jump into that freaking story. We don't have time for that tonight.
Anyway, going back to the Okigahara forest, the average suicide is typically middle-aged men in Japan. So sad that most likely the reason for this is speculated to be the culture and the psychology of the Japanese hard life system. Not everywhere, of course, but apparently it was in the 90s, you know, all the way to 2009, 2010, with all the economy problems that put so much pressure on both men and women to succeed in their life and work. And when they feel like they have failed, especially men who have wives and families, they have no other choice but to go and off themselves.
Fucking
right.
Hell,
and if you think
dude.
About it, especially in Asian countries, suicide sometimes considered as an honorable alternative to living as a loser.
Yeah.
You know, this practice even goes back centuries in Japan with the samurai practice of
seppuku.
Yeah.
Seppuku, yeah. It's like an honorable taking of your own, yeah. I see.
Right, seppuku was really a thing back then. And even today, it's just different methods.
It's freaky. That adds a whole nother element to this whole thing because... When you talk about, like, let's talk about a minute about these middle-aged men, right?
That's what I thought. It's not just lovers, man.
No, this is like...
Think about it deeper, it's even more disturbing, you know? Until like, the global financial crisis of 2008 made things even worse in Japan, resulting actually in 2009 in 2,645 recorded suicides just in January. Just in the first...
Like, how many?
2,600 suicides that's been recorded.
That's this year?
No, in 2009.
Oh, that's nuts, man.
Yeah.
2,000.
The executive director of a suicide prevention hotline told Japan Times, callers most frequently cite mental health and family problems as the reason for committing their suicide, for like they want to go and do the suicide. But behind that, there are other issues such as financial problems and the fear of losing their jobs.
Right. That seems to be a big deal, right? A big of it is like, did you go to a good college? Did you get good grades? Are you going to get that the best job ever? And to them, it's like if you don't achieve the standard, then what's the point of living? It's almost right? like this insane. I mean, what do I know? I'm not Japanese. You're not Japanese. We're not from there.
But it's kind of the same situation. They just have different
but it's more intense.
Different, like, it's way more intense. And different. Yeah, I know, right? It's just that they look at things sometimes differently. In that way, like, you know, I should probably kill myself, or because it's more honorable, you know, than live as a you know, as a failure.
But that means one thing, right? If you say that, there is something interesting there, which is there's less of a fear of suicide. Because, I mean, I don't know, but for me, the idea of taking my life is, I wouldn't, like, even if you're, like, if life sucks, I can't do it.
That's why that book is so popular in Japan, because If you read just a little bit from it, you'll see how positive makes suicide looks like. It fucks up with your head, man. I tried to read a little bit from it. It's right. fucking freaky. You know, the way he puts ideas and frame things in that book, it just makes you feel like this motherfucker actually making a point that this shit does make sense. And, you know, you gotta stop because it's freaky.
What in the world? Yeah.
And I think most people there, like, the guy's Japanese, so he used that, like, psychology games to show, I don't know if it's actually, he's just, like, showing what reality is and how empty the life is and how just, like, a cycle of boring deeds that we go through in our lives that he's like, why not kill yourself and make things more exciting?
I mean, he wouldn't be the first philosopher. Well,
he's still alive.
First person to have those.
This guy's like 60 something, and he's like proud of his work.
Are you dead ass?
Yeah.
This man who wrote a book that has inspired thousands to take their lives is alive.
A lot of people, they want to like sue him and shit like that, but it's just a book. He can't sue a guy who just wrote a book.
Jesus Christ. Well, I mean,
pretty
I
good
suppose.
Idea for
I
a
mean,
book, but not really.
Oh my God.
In a way to encourage people to kill themselves. You know, it's just. I mean, I'm pretty sure he wasn't. You know what? I don't want to like get hammed on by people by discussing points of this book. It's
right.
just that it's not cool, okay? It's not cool to even like think about this stuff because it's hard, man. Like as you said, it's freaky to think even about this. You have people you love. You have people that loves you.
Yeah.
And of course, we all fall in depression pits at some points of our lives and.
Yeah.
Just, you know, if you want, if people, I guess, like, you know, don't give up. You know, just chase the dreams you want to chase. And I guess that's the adventure.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, I think obviously the suicide is an interesting topic here. And I mean, not that suicide is like people like great, suicide's great. No one is saying that, of course. I know that even in Japan, suicide is a terrible thing. It's very devastating and all that. But, you know, suicide is seen very differently sometimes. Even in, you know, comparatively speaking to the West or in the East or anywhere, there's a different view of it. But even so, you know, obviously I think the idea here is to...
Yeah, yeah.
Is to find, you know, it's... Yeah, you have to think about the people you love in this world. Even if you are going through something, you have people in this world who you've made very happy, who love you. And, well, anyways, I know you're not finished with the story yet, so before we give
that's actually it. I just want to say, you know, as sad as this place sounds, I don't want people to think of it as the repetition it has on it. You know, I just want to say that the forest actually... in many respects is an untouched paradise. You know, I've seen photos, I've seen the bad photos, we've seen really disturbing photos, and I've seen really magic photos, you know, of this place, you know,
right.
with hundreds of caves untouched, ready to be explored. You know, it's just that has this freaky vibe and all these spirits and all that folklore, you know, surrounding it. that prevents people from... Okay, the other thing that prevents people is seeing dead bodies, but...
Yeah.
I guess, you know, in the end, it's just, you know... It is a beautiful place, too, on the other hand, you know. It's a two-sided coin, I would say. Yeah.
This, it definitely seems that way.
Right, yeah.
It's... I mean, there is definitely something very... I mean, I've seen some of the pictures of the forest. It's beautiful. It's... You know, I also know that the forest is very, like... It's very, cloudy.
It is.
It looks like something out of a horror movie in our eyes, but that's just what it's, that's what it is. That's just how the composition of the forest is. But I mean, the philosophical concept here of suicide.
Yeah.
And how is it that these people, I mean, what does this say about society in Japan? What does this say about middle-aged men and women too, but I mean, you're saying mostly it's guys that are taking their lives. What is it that it's so painful and so hard that is driving so many people to take their lives? I mean, the numbers are, and mind you, I mean, we're talking about the forest here, but even, and I think even in Japanese society, I think suicide is generally high anyways. So, I mean, that's a question maybe for all of you listening at home. You know, what is life mean to us? What does it mean to the concept of taking one's own life?
It's a pretty, you know, complicated,
it's, I mean, it's one of the hardest things
matter,
ever,
you know. It's a pretty complicated thing to even think about, you know. It's I feel like there's no a clear answer, because I do understand people, I mean, not completely, but I hope people who think of committing suicide or actually going through with it, it's whatever they believe in, you know, I'm not judging. But I know life is hard, you know, sometimes. But in my opinion, it's an adventure, and you only get to go on that adventure once. So might as well use the best of it, and however shitty situation is, you know, make the best of it and enjoy that one trip, you know.
I agree. You should enjoy it. I mean, and again, some of us believe it's one trip. Other people might think that there's multiple ones. Who knows? Again,
right.
I mean, we don't want to jump into the whole religion or beliefs and things. That's another thing. It's another can of worms here. But yeah, I mean, and who's to say? Who's to say that suicide? I mean, you don't never want to condone suicide, right? Life is precious, and you shouldn't do that. But if you want to get philosophical, we could always say, well, is it precious? Is life precious? Is life worth living? I mean, maybe if you didn't choose to be brought to the planet, maybe you want to take your own life, and that's your choice. It's so complicated. We just don't know. I mean, I think that's why the idea of this forest, and when you look at just the amount of deaths that are here, and I mean, the pictures are crazy. You can find so many people in tents, hanging from trees. It's so absolutely terrifying to look at.
It is,
but I think it's shocking when you see that there is a place on this earth where there are just bodies after bodies of people,
piles
who
of dead bodies, you know,
of humans
lost in time.
Yeah, lost in time. People who made that decision that said, "I'm tired of the loneliness," I would prefer this type of absolution than to continue living the life I now have. And you just see these cars sitting in this parking lot of this person that doesn't exist anymore on this plane of existence. It's
this forest actually goes on to inspire a lot of folklore and pop culture, books, TV shows, and even movies. And that's why it's actually pretty famous right now in these days. So if you dare to venture into this forbidden forest, do as the sign says or suggests, and stay on the right path.
Yes, lest you want to wake some spirits, or you want to see some pretty horrifying things that you may not want to stumble onto in your life.
Right.
But, yeah.
A little dose of Halloween horror for tonight. Hope you enjoyed it.
Definitely, guys. I hope you liked this episode. Definitely a little sad, a little morose. But just a reminder that some of the world's biggest horrors and terrors did not exist hundreds of years ago. Sometimes they exist within our own time period. And they're happening now as we speak.
True.
In a part of the world, there are just some of the most horrifying things that you could probably ever see. So always remember that you that life, like I said again, always, no matter what position you're in your life, sometimes life is easy, sometimes life is hard, sometimes life can be very sad and it can beat you down.
Definitely.
But always remember that there's, you know, life can be very good, and there's a lot of happiness in this world, and there's always somebody out there that loves you. And even if aren't, there's always going to be a possibility in the future for somebody to love you in this world and for somebody to care. It's I think we're assholes to each other a lot of the time. Like, we're true douchebags. And I think we need a little bit of kindness in this world. I know this is a Halloween episode. We're supposed to say some freaky, goofy, like, scary shit.
I think we've said enough.
But honestly,
we're not done yet.
We
though,
need... Like, it's a crazy time in the world. All around. And
I agree, yeah, I agree.
We just... Sometimes we can enjoy this season while at the same time being kind to each other, or at least acknowledging that we matter in this world, that people should be around, that you can give something, that we can all enjoy each other's company in some way, shape, or form. So if this episode taught you anything, I hope it teaches you to reach out to the people you know and just show them some appreciation. Hey, I know I've been a douchebag in the past, or maybe I don't talk to you that much, but I appreciate you.
That's true, yeah. I agree 100%.
You know?
And there you have it, folks. All you creep addicts.
And we're going to be back with some more Halloween stuff, so stay tuned.
Indeed. Don't forget to check our social media where we post, you know, episode-related stuff. And give us a review if you really enjoy this podcast on iTunes or whatever platform you listen to.
Yeah.
And send us an email if you have any questions on fauzcave@gmail.com.
That would be awesome. Anybody from Japan out there who knows more about the forest or could tell us more about this would be
wonderful.
Or
anybody that's been there, visited, or anything.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Anyway, that would be the end of tonight's episode. We'll see you on the next week.
And as usual, keep it creepy.
And sweet dreams.